Jesus said these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest." And so this evening we have come, seeking rest and peace that passes understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather this evening to mourn the loss and yet also celebrate the life of Plata Minner. On behalf of the entire Minner family, I want to speak words of gratitude and thanksgiving to all of you and your ministry of presence here at this evening's funeral service. And on behalf of those who gather here to worship each and every week as Lebanon Presbyterian Church, for which myself and Tom have the wonderful privilege of serving as pastors, we greet you all with the grace and peace of our Lord. Jesus also said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." These are the words of the gospel. This is good news for those who grieve. This is joyful news to know that death does not have the last word over those who God has claimed as his own. And so today, this evening, may your faith be assured that through our faith in Christ, we live forever. In this good news, let us pray. Father God, we are grateful this evening that we can gather knowing your presence here among us, that we might lean upon you, we might hear from your word, and we might get a sense of your Holy Spirit that lives within us and assures us of everlasting life. Father God, we ask that in all things you may be glorified in this moment, just as Plata has glorified you all the days of her life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand today for our call to worship. You'll find the call to worship is printed in the bulletin. We'll be using Psalm 145. And then the family has also selected this evening four hymns for us to sing together. So put your best foot forward as we join our voices. They are familiar hymns. I trust many of you will know them. The words of the hymns are found in the red hymnal located in the pews in front of you. To introduce the great hymn of faith, "Great is thy faithfulness," we will use these words from Psalm 145. "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend his works to another. They will tell of his mighty acts forever and ever." And just as we have joined our voices together in song and praise to our Lord, may we also now join our voices together in the prayer that the Lord Jesus has taught us to pray using the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found on the back cover of the hymnal if you'd like to use those words to guide you in our prayer today. Let us pray as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The wisdom of Solomon is recorded for us in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the words of Solomon, he says this, A good name is better than a fine perfume. And the wisdom that Solomon speaks here is that of all the finest and most expensive perfumes that is known to mankind, all of them, when worn, will fade away. This is unlike a good name. A good name like Plata Minor, a name that will not ever easily be forgotten. And so today we gather to remember her good name and the good works and good family that follow. In our time of remembering Plata, we begin with the words found as listed in the newspaper. These the words of her obituary. Plata Minor, 92 years of age, of New Wilmington, passed away on Wednesday morning, January 24th, 2018, at St. John Specialty Care in Mars, Pennsylvania. Plata was born on March 17th, 1925, and was the sixth of seven children of Thomas and Sarah Patton. Her sisters and brothers all preceded her in death. Their names are Mary Eleanor, Dorothy, Tom, Marjorie, Glenna, and Jean. Plata grew up in a variety of settings, finishing in Shenango Township as a lifelong member of Lebanon Presbyterian Church, where her father was the pastor from 1936 to 1948. Plata graduated from Ohio University with a teaching degree. She was an extraordinarily productive and loving wife, mother and homemaker. This as she also brushed off and doctored all the scrapes and burns of childhood, wiped away the tears, and pushed all of her children to excel. She was dynamic and loving with a great sense of humor, guided always by her faith in God. Dedicated to her family, she was our moral compass, teaching us right from wrong and greatly shaping who we are today. Her husband, Donald L. Minor, passed away in 1999. Plata is survived by her four children, Jean Buchanan of Mercer, Richard Minor of Annapolis, Maryland, Donald Minor of Manassas, Virginia, and Shirley Jones of Evans City, Pennsylvania. Plata has nine grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. Though their names are too numerous to name, they were all greatly loved by our family matriarch, Grandma. These are brilliant words, the words of her obituary. They provide for us the names of loved ones that are still here with us today, important dates like the date of her birth, and points of interest that make Plata such a memorable person. As I look back and just briefly recall Plata of 7 years of ministry here as pastor at Lebanon, I want to make mention of a date that's not found in the obituary. A date that for most of us is maybe very unordinary. The date was September 18th, 1936. In this space that we gather, an 11-year-old girl stood and gave a profession of faith that Jesus Christ is her Lord. Now, for those of you sitting behind the pillars, you would be outside sitting on that day. And those of us who gathered in the overflow, that section would have no longer been there as well. But somewhere now where this beautiful spray of flowers sits is where Plata stood and made that profession, becoming a member of this congregation. And since that day, always a member and active participant in the life of this church where we gather today. And so if you do the math, that's 81 years of faithful and active church membership. And folks, friends, family, that's why we use the word matriarch when we talk and remember Plata Minner. To try and put 81 years of church membership and faithful membership, faithful service to the Lord in perspective, I want you to know that when she stood here and made that profession and her name was penciled and then rewritten in pen in our membership book, she was member number 607. A church at that time was only 50 years old. The church is now over 165 years old, and there's been over 1,700 members. That means Plata saw 1,100 people say that same profession of faith in the same spot that she stood on September 18th, 1936. In that time, as a member, faithful member of this church, she would have known, including her father, only 12 pastors. And to her credit, one of them was here for nearly 40 years. And even Don Wilson couldn't drive her away. She saw 27 classes of elders, 3 church name changes and denominational changes. She watched, and this is where we put things in perspective. She watched 4 generations, 4, of babies born, baptized, and married in this church. 4 times she saw that cycle happen. And for many of us, it's difficult to see just one. She was a remarkable woman. Speak more about her role as matriarch, not so much as a matriarch of this church, which we all know and loved her to be, but also, and even more importantly, the matriarch of her family. Her son, Rich, would like to speak a few words to you now.
This is called the Prayer for Meditation. The author is unknown to me. When I'm gone, release me, let me go. I have so many things yet to see and do. You mustn't tie yourself to me with tears. Just be happy we had so many years. I gave you my love. You can only guess how much you gave to me in happiness. I thank you for the love you each have shown, but now it's time I travel on alone. So grieve a while for me. If grieve you must, then let your grief be comforted by trust. It's only for a while that we must part. So bless the memories within your heart. I won't be far away, for life goes on. So if you need me, call and I will come. Though you cannot see or touch me, I'll be near. And if you listen with your heart, you'll hear all my love around you soft and clear. And then when you must come this way alone, I'll greet you with a smile and say, welcome home.
Thank you, Rich. You might notice on the front of the bulletin, there is a picture. And ordinarily, when you attend a funeral service, the picture on the front of the bulletin is the one whose life we are honoring and remembering. However, today, you do not see a picture of Plata. And that is very purposeful, because her family will share with you, and you would all might know, especially those of you who were close to Plata, that she would be terrified to know that her picture was on the front of a church bulletin. And so we felt that it would be much appropriate for us to put a picture of a quilt. In speaking with those who knew Plata and quilted with Plata, we suspect that Plata began quilting at a very young age, around 1940, and did so faithfully until the quilt on the front of this bulletin was stitched and quilted. Now, we could have given you the full picture in which you will see Plata holding up one end and Dot Mild holding up the other, but just to know that that's the type of person Plata was. Not one to draw attention to herself, but always to others in service of the Lord. We suspect that Plata quilted hundreds of quilts before, I'm told, they began quilting here in the church in the overflow. They used to go to people's homes to finish their quilts. And so to imagine all of the people's that have received the loving touch of her hand through the quilts that she worked on is really, truly remarkable. I know this story because, well, I just simply asked one who knew Plata. And all of you know her. And all of you have special stories like this to share. So I want to encourage you today that though we don't have time to create a line and long list of stories here today, that there'll be a time after the service for us to gather, fellowship around the table and a meal. Please speak to the person across the table with you. Ask them, how did you know Plata? What did you remember? Allow those legacies and those memories to come to fold so that we may all remember her and that her good name would indeed never fade away. Let us pray. Father God, as we lift to you our prayer in memory of Plata, we can only but thank you for her many years here with us, the many ways in which she significantly influenced the lives of so many. Lord, we begin our remembrance with her day of birth, her loving parents who raised her and molded her into a faithful young lady, who discipled her and led her to faith in Christ. Lord, we remember, though all her siblings have passed, in the pictures that were before us We remember her childhood years, the years with her siblings. And Lord, where those stories still remain, may they continue to be told. Father, we remember her days as a loving and faithful and remarkable wife, her many years of faithful marriage. We remember, Lord, the four most brilliant days in her life when she gave birth to her children, and lovingly and compassionately and boldly raised them to the men and women that they have now become. We remember, Lord, her loving friendships that she fostered in this valley. We remember, Lord, her many years as servant in your church. We thank you, Father, for all those who knew her as grandma. And we pray, Lord, that those children would be raised in the same kindness and the same faith that Plata raised her own children. And Lord, as we come now to the end of Plata's life here on earth, we are only glad to know that she has received her glorious inheritance. Lord, we remember her baptism, her profession of faith, which gives us assurance that you have claimed her as your child and that you have welcomed her into your heavenly kingdom, where there is no longer aging, where there is no longer tears or mourning, but only glory. And so, Lord, in all things, may you be glorified as we remember your good and faithful servant, Plata Minner. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our hymn of preparation, I would invite you to stand and sing selection number 425 in the hymnals entitled In the Garden. Let us sing together. You may be seated. I'd like to share with you two scriptures on which the message is based. The first comes from the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." And the New Testament lesson from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. The greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, in this precious hour, we gather to hear your word. And to do that, we ask that you elevate your word above our sorrow, that it would reveal to us your promise everlasting. Free us in these moments from all distraction, that we could listen, that we could hear, that we could realize the ever-present hope that is before us. Lord, teach me that I may teach your message. Amen. I am so honored to have been asked by the family to participate in today's service. One preacher's kid blessed to honor another preacher's kid. We shared the same home, not at the same time. I don't know that we had the same bedroom. 70 years apart, maybe. I don't know. Turns out she had a harder life. No indoor plumbing, so she wins. Claudia Minner, the entire Minner family, very special to me, to my family. I'm a little thrown off because that was the Minner section over there. And so I apologize if at some point I'll come back to that. That's important. On behalf of my family, I extend to you our deepest sympathies. And so here in this space on this day, it is absolutely positively right and commendable that we celebrate the life of Claudia Minner and that we also mourn her passing. And in doing that, I know that we are also longing for hope. It's important for me to remind you, even to remind myself, that I'm charged with the responsibility, the very, very happy responsibility, to share the message of salvation, to be and bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a natural tendency for me to look for my own words in this situation, to know what Tom Wilson would say, but that is not what the situation demands first and foremost. I am second, and he is first. And so to put him and his message first, I'd like to share the scripture that I know puts an umbrella of hope over what the rest of the day will hold. And it comes from 1 Thessalonians, and it's entitled "Believers Who Have Died." Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive on our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Plotiminor is a believer who is dead. The words of that scripture, the very word of the Lord, is my encouragement, and I am certain it was Plautus. Messages for moments like this are revealed by God in various ways. That's how I'm discovering this. Today's message was put on my heart, no doubt, by God, but he delivered it through the voice of Debbie Wilson, my mother, Plautus' friend. I called my mom. I drew short straw and had to call and tell my parents. And I talked to my mom, and I said, just matter of fact, I said, tell me about your friend, Plauta. And she said, well, I guess, Tom, to you, she'd be a throwback. You don't see Plautus much anymore. She was a lady, always. Very devilish smile. She threw that in. She had a very devilish smile. She was a model mother, a model wife. Went off on a tangent. She said she was a quilter. Amazing hands for needlework. She was quiet. She was humble. And then she got quiet for a second and she said, I remember one time at a women's Bible study that Plauta said, and I wrote it down, enough for Jesus. And my mom then told me the story and names of people at that Bible study who assured Plauta one by one around that she had, that she was, that she would. And then mom got really quiet. She said, if it's okay, Tom, I'm going to get off the phone and be sad for a little while for my friend. She'd had enough. And it's that word that's hung on me. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about Plauta's enough. I know there was a point in time when she held each of her children and fed them, and very sweetly asked, maybe even in advanced years at the table, enough? Have you had enough? If she's anything like my mother, I'm sure there were moments where the tone was a little different around the house, and she said, enough! And any number of other ways to emphasize and pronounce that word. I fully believe that Wednesday, she got to the pearly gates. And I imagine this exchange. I think she saw Jesus sitting right where she had confessed him to be, at the very right hand of God. And I truly believe that Plauta had the humbled gall to ask her Savior, enough? Have I done enough? And I imagine he said, enough. Enough. Let me see. You taught Sunday school. You taught Vacation Bible School. You sang in the choir.
dedicated yourself to Presbyterian women. You served as a deacon. You offered your hands as a quilter. Though you think you were just a homemaker, I know that you made that home. You raised a Christian family in faith. Jean, Rich, Dawn, Shirley, grandchildren, great-grandchildren by the associative property. You lived that very command of Moses from Deuteronomy because you were careful. You watched yourself closely so that you did not forget the things your eyes had seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you lived. You taught them to your children and to their children after them. You remembered the day you stood before the Lord your God when he said to assemble the people to hear his words so that they could learn to revere him as long as they live in the land and to teach them to their children. You were the embodiment of the wife of noble character in the book of Proverbs. A wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You live the Lord's greatest commandment, Plata. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you loved your neighbor as yourself. You inspired your friends and your friends' children. So much so that regardless of how busy they are, they say things like, I'm still going to be there to play the organ for Plata. You were a mentor to the preacher's wife. In the late 80s, when Debbie Wilson hit a spiritual wall, it was to you, Plata, that she turned for Christian counsel. Plata, you are a cedar of Lebanon, the living embodiment of a tree that was used to build Solomon's temple. Trees that cast their roots down as far and deeply as their height went up. Firm, beautiful, steadfast, and known to grow wherever they're planted. Sadly, an endangered commodity these days. Plata, you were a pillar of the very faith which upholds my kingdom on earth, I can hear him saying. I can see where you sat. Like a dutiful Presbyterian, you sat there. That's where Plata Minner sat. There are four pillars in the back of this church that you can physically see. And there are beautiful windows that allow the light to come in. But it's these pillars that you can't see, the plot of mentors, that hold up the very faith we respect. And they're all through this sanctuary. There's the plot of mentors. There's the Ella McConnell. There's the Mary Shupack, the Virginia Mild. There's the Betty Galt. There's the Alice Mild. There's the Lucille Artman. There's the Bev Fennell. Can you see them? I can hear the Lord then saying, now, Plata, what was that question again? Enough. Have you done enough? Yes. Enough. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that would be enough. But Plata wouldn't want this message to end there. First, she'd be systematically mortified to have had someone speak about her at length and probably would be under the pew where she sat and not sitting in it. But more so, she probably would want to, though she might not speak up, she would want you to know that good works, those things you do, don't earn you salvation. She'd want that to be clear because she knew that her salvation was through amazing grace. And what she did and the works she did, her life of sacrifice, that was a thank you for her salvation. And she would want you to know that promise of salvation. Because she knew that was her true and proper worship, that she was to be a disciple. And though some may have gone to the very ends of the earth, we need disciples right here at home. The very choir in which she sang sometimes needs preached to. And she did. She would want this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to end with a simple statement of faith. And so from Plata to you, I would offer the simplest statement of faith that we have. John 3:16. She would tell you that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. And that pillar, that cedar of Lebanon, would say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, he will stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God and not as a stranger. And she has. That, my friends, that is enough. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Creator and Redeemer, you are our comfort and strength, and you have given us our sister Plata to know and to love in our time here on earth. Uphold us now as we entrust her to your boundless love and eternal care. Assure us that not even death can separate us from your infinite mercy. Deal graciously with us in our anguish that we may truly know your sure consolation and learn to live in confident hope of the resurrection that actually now turns us to celebration. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Scripture tells us that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you are saved. I sat in Sunday school with this woman. I sat in vacation Bible school with this woman. I know what was in her heart because I heard her confess it with her lips. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so join me, please, in raising your voice in thanksgiving for the very real promise of the resurrection and eternal life. Amazing Grace, hymn number 202. I'd ask you to remain standing just for a brief committal service. Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then these words from the book of John, as Jesus comforts his disciples, allow these words to comfort you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to you, Almighty God, our sister Plauda Minner, and we commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, says the Spirit. They rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Let us pray. Lord, we know you are the God of compassion, and so in our sorrow, we receive from you the comfort that you alone can give. Enable us to see that you are always working for our good, that you are our dwelling place, and underneath us are your everlasting arms. Assure us of your love, that we may be able to accept what we cannot understand. Help us to be aware not only of the shadows of death, but also the splendor of eternal life. Enable us even now to face life with courage. Give us the grace and strength to go on, knowing that the great cloud of witnesses surrounds us. Let the life of Plauda still inspire us. Comfort and uphold us, Lord, until we share together in the light of your glory and the peace of your eternal presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of celebration and resurrection is number 505, Love Lifted Me. The meal ministry team of Lebanon and the family invite you to the social hall downstairs to begin the process and continue the process of celebrating the life of Plauda Minner. Gather around the table. Tell your stories. Stand in awe of one of the cedars of Lebanon. Please receive this benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there, and Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you where you are, because you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And therefore, I urge each of you, brothers and sisters, to offer your lives as living sacrifices, because this is your true and proper worship. Go and make disciples of all nations, because you are his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.